This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts and, if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, let's start with good news, an update from the peregrine falcons nesting on St. Albans Cathedral Tower. Now, you'll remember that the pair of peregrine falcons that bred on the cathedral for the first time in 2022 have bred for a second year in a row, and last month laid 3 eggs. The first egg was laid within just hours of the feed from the cathedral's webcam going live, and since then we have been engrossed in watching the birds' behaviour, with the webcam receiving over 130,000 page views to date. I spoke to a friend who said that they had the webcam on all the time in the office where they work. What a great idea. Most of the time you'll just see one of the parents diligently huddled over the chicks, keeping them warm, staying so still that you might be mistaken for thinking that they were dead. Then just occasionally there is a flurry of activity as the other peregrine swoops in with some food and we get to see the chicks being fed. Now, the peregrine falcon's activity has also attracted lots of attention from the ground, with bird watchers, photographers and other interested people gathering for sightings of the birds of prey on the grass below the abbey. And don't forget that even if you don't possess some high-powered binoculars or a telescope, the kind people behind Peregrine Watch do. Run by Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust and St Albans RSPB, Peregrine Watch is once again running every Saturday and Sunday until the 16th of June between 11 o'clock in the morning and 3 in the afternoon from the Abbey Orchard, which is the grass below the Abbey, so that we can all get a closer look of the peregrines. And just in case you were wondering why all this is so special, ponder on the fact that this pair is one of only 5 in Hertfordshire. Sobering, but great to see these magnificent birds at last on the increase. Now, here on Environment Matters, we're always talking rubbish. Well, or even better, recycling, repairing and reusing. And last Friday, a brand new recycling centre was opened on Tewin Road, about a mile from the centre of Welwyn Garden City. The facility was opened by Councillor Eric Buckmaster, Executive Member for the Environment at Hertfordshire County Council, and I spoke to him to hear more about the facility. Now, this new facility has cost millions and replaces the old one at Coal Green. I asked Councillor Buckmaster to start by explaining what was wrong with the old site.
Well, I think if you were to look at Google Earth and have a bird's eye view of where the location is, it was right on the 414, a very small footprint, very old-fashioned way of arranging the recycling containers, limited parking. There was often queuing onto the main road, not fit for purpose for a large town and an area around Welwyn Garden City.
Okay, so let's look at some of the benefits of this new site. What's been done to reduce the chances of having to queue?
Well, one of the really good things, I mean, I visited prior to the opening this week, and it's right in the centre of town, really good location. As you go in, the first thing you notice is a sense of space. I think it's around 38 parking spaces, so really a lot of parking there for people and a good driveway in. So I think the problems of queuing are pretty much eliminated from that point of view.
Indeed. And I've noticed also that on your website, you've got a camera so we can see whether there's queues and avoid visiting if there is, which will help us as well.
Yeah, absolutely right. And that's something that actually happens in many of our sites. So before people embark on their journey, they can actually see the status of the particular recycling centre and the days in which they're open. There are some that are open just some days a week, but our super sites are open 7 days a week.
And you've got this site open 7 days a week, which I think people will find very helpful. Needless to say, we'll be able to recycle all the usual things there: garden waste, domestic appliances, fridges and freezers, batteries, plasterboard, textiles, rubble, wood, metals, lots of other things. Of course, recycling is good, but reuse is better. And on this site, you're going to have a purpose-built shop for donations and the purchase of good quality unwanted items. So somewhere where we can give our items and they can be sold rather than going for recycling. Now, this is the fourth such shop in the county that you've got. Can you tell us anything about the success of these shops and how many unwanted items find new homes here?
I think a very large number of unwanted items. I've actually used it myself to deposit items when I was doing some house clearing from a relative. And I visited, I think, three of the four existing reuse centres. They're absolutely fantastic. Obviously, quite a lot of furniture there, but there are some household goods. We've recently started doing some paint recycling as well, where people can take their paint and then others can pick them up. And of course, for people on a budget, you can pick up some really good bargains in some of the furniture. They're in really pretty good condition. So there are things that people no longer need, and then they can take them along. I've seen bicycles. I saw a telescope in the new one the other day. Lots of really good value items. So anybody setting up home, it's a really good way of doing it. And of course, it's environmentally friendly because you're not creating more carbon in the process.
And as you say, if actually you've got a number of very good conditioned things, as you say, perhaps if you are clearing a house or something like that, it's always worth seeing if they can be used in the shop.
Because it's not throwing stuff away, is it? Absolutely. It's not competing with charities. People still take things like that to charities, but this is an alternative way of dealing with things. And of course, the income then goes back into the service, which then helps us provide our services for recycling. Last year at the county show, around about this time last year, we actually took virtually all of the contents of our existing reuse centres into the county show and sold them. I think nearly everything went. And it was £4,000 or £5,000 that went towards charity from selling those goods at that time.
Are you going to be doing the same this year?
We're not this year, because I think there are different themes this year, but it was just something that we thought would catch people's eye and encourage them more to recycle and reuse.
Yeah, and really shows the quality of the things on sale in the shops as well. So the new site at Tewin Road won't just be for domestic waste, but you're going to have a business waste service there that's going to be launched later this summer. Now, you trialled a business waste drop-off facility at the Ware recycling site. Can you just tell us a bit about how the trial went and why you think that this new service will be attractive to businesses?
I think it's quite attractive. So I think for the smaller waste carriers or smaller builders and people of that kind who want to dispose of goods easily and legally, and of course there is some value. So we have a weighbridge, and there are charges for depositing certain items. Of course, higher volumes items are dealt with differently, but there's a weighbridge there. Staff are fully trained, and I think it's a really good way of offering an additional service. A limited amount of commercial waste, but of course it's in addition to the household waste that we receive.
Indeed, and being open every day, I'm sure that business people will find
that's very useful. That's really good.
You've got a few other sustainable features at the site. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
I think you need to go there to appreciate the layout and how much thought has gone into it. But over and above the containers where people take their waste, which are now at ground, so they're below ground level, so no more climbing up steps, and that was something we tried first at the Ware site. But over the containers, there's a canopy, and there are solar panels on each one of those, and those solar panels then generate electricity that either is used on site or goes back into the grid. So an awful lot of thought that's gone into it, and the layout really makes it easier for people to get in, park, and then out again.
Well, those sounds like some measures that will be very welcome. Something which unfortunately wasn't very welcome was having to take your passport or your driving licence when you go to a recycling centre. Can you just explain to us why you had to bring in this measure?
Well, it's only just formally starting. We announced it a few weeks ago, and I think it's in the next week that we're actually starting to enforce it. But one of the reasons for doing that is because we have quite a net import of recycling from out of county. So it's something like 20%, so a fifth of the recycling centre's total usage through them is from outside of Hertfordshire. And of course, that means our taxpayers are subsidising those of other counties and other local authorities. So, and the cost to us was approaching £500,000 a year. So I think it was really important. We weren't the first to do this. There were many of the, in fact, the vast majority of local authorities have already gone down the route of saying residents only. So we're among the last to do that. But we thought, well, we need to really get on top of this. But one of the stipulations we agreed at Cabinet was that we would pursue reciprocal arrangements with other authorities. So there are some where actually the majority of the use come from people outside of Hertfordshire. But conversely, there are others where they're near the Hertfordshire border and a proportion of our residents use them. So what we're trying to do is come up with arrangements whereby we allow mutual use where it's cost neutral.
And just finally, I mean, how are we doing recycling wise here in Hertfordshire? Are we doing any better than we were?
We are doing better. There was a slight blip, I think, in terms of the amount of residual waste during COVID. I think things changed because of the way people were living and working and some of the restrictions. But the latest report from the Hearts Waste Partnership that came out showed that on average across the 10 districts and boroughs, it was just under 53% of waste was recycled. Now, that's it is the highest in the east of England and higher than much of England. So we're doing pretty well. Two of the boroughs, St Albans and Three Rivers, actually had over 60% recycling rates. I think there are some demographic differences sometimes. It depends on the area, how many flats there are and so on. But I think the idea is that we try to increase that all around. I would love to see all of us on average doing over 60%. And one of the ways that we can do that is encouraging less food waste to go into the black residual bins. And I'm not necessarily talking about separate food waste collection. I think all of the districts and boroughs will have to move towards that. And I think legislation will be saying that. Some do at the moment, some don't. But it's actually wasted food. And when they looked at a compositional analysis in the residual bins, they found that probably around 20% was food that was just thrown away, and a lot of it in packets not even opened. So there'll be some campaigns over the coming months making people aware of that and encouraging them to think about what they're doing. It does save on carbon. It saves on wasting food that's been grown, transporting it in the first place, not using it, then transporting it again, and then either incinerating or going into landfill. So if we can get on top of that, then all of our rates will go up.
Well, that sounds like a win-win if we can do that. Yeah. Councillor Buckmaster, thank you very much indeed.
No problem.
I was talking there to Councillor Eric Buckmaster. Now, the new recycling site is open 7 days a week between 10 and 6. And don't forget your photo ID when you visit. Now, I've just got time for a bit more news for you. Nominations for the Ember Eco Awards are now open. If you missed Ember Design's owner, Lee Wood, talking about the awards here on Environment Matters, then head to the podcast page of mix926.com, where you'll find the podcast of that and all other editions of Environment Matters. And there you'll hear Lee explaining how fortunate we are to have people who give their time, expertise, knowledge and passion to benefit our community by working tirelessly to improve the environment. The Ember Eco Awards are a chance to celebrate their achievements. So perhaps you know an amazing school eco-counsellor who's helping their class with green initiatives, or maybe a faith group going above and beyond to help rewild the local area, or maybe someone in your street is helping biodiversity or arranging regular community litter picks. Now, there are three categories for the awards, and you can make one nomination per category. There's under 18s, over 18s and community groups. Now, to submit a nomination, simply send your full name along with that of your chosen recipients and a brief synopsis of why you believe they deserve to be recognised to info@emberdesigns.co.uk. That's info@emberdesigns.co.uk. Now, the deadline for all nominations will be 6 p.m. on Friday, the 9th of June. And the three-person judging panel will then no doubt have their work cut out to decide the final winners. An announcement will then be made a week later to coincide with the conclusion of the Sustainability Festival. And if you want a bit more information, then go to the SusFest page of the Sustainable St Albans website. Another bit of interesting news over in Watford. Now, I moaned before on this show about how drafty and cold the floorboards are in my home, but putting insulation under floorboards is a big, dirty job. Take it from me, I've asked a lot of people about this. So I was interested to hear that Watford Borough Council is enlisting the help of a new robot designed to spray foam insulation under floorboards. It's being used across Watford to help provide a faster, safer and more efficient way of insulating homes and buildings. Now, it's called a Q-Bot, and it reckons it can handle even the most challenging spaces. Its design allows the remote control robot to manoeuvre through little spaces and around obstacles under your floorboards, making it ideal for retrofitting old homes and buildings with insulation. And the Q-Bot is also equipped with sensors that ensure accurate and even application of foam insulation, resulting in improved energy efficiency and lower utility bills for home and building owners. An elected mayor of Watford, Peter Taylor, said amid rising concerns over increasing energy costs, this kind of technology offers significant benefits. Its insulation solution can potentially reduce floor heat loss by up to 80%, leading to improved energy efficiency ratings and offsetting the rise in energy bills. Sounds good, doesn't it? You can get in touch via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Twitter and Facebook. I'll be back with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.